This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Leechwe Lin. Tonight, Khairi Jamaluddin aims to bring about a generational endgame to smoking.
Yes, so there are plans for people born after 2005 to no longer be able to buy cigarettes and tobacco products. First, we talk about how this will impact us as a society and whether it will help smoking cessation. And then, how will this eat into our syntax?
Tell us, do you support this move? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07 and the government has announced plans to essentially ban the sale of cigarettes and tobacco products to those born after 2005, essentially those who are 17 this year. And this will include e-cigarettes and vape products as well. And this comes from Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin, who says that this is part of his intention to bring about what he calls a generational endgame to smoking.
So if this is approved, it is just a proposal at this point in time, an announcement of a proposal actually that is going to make its way through all the usual ways for something to become policy. So if it is approved, the government will have less than a year to come up with mechanisms to ensure that cigarettes aren't sold to 18-year-olds. And I think that is really going to be it, isn't it? Because just to be very clear, we are not talking about the seizing of the selling of cigarettes, merely that people who are born, like we said, after 2005 will not be able to, which means checking an IC or, I assume, a form of identification at every single point, you know, henceforth, whenever somebody is buying cigarettes. And you shouldn't be able to, I mean, we can get into that, but I'm assuming that it will have to extend across the board. But all of which to say, I want to go back to that point about generational endgame, because that is the kind of thing that sounds very grand and sounds like a very big, in some ways, ambitious idea. However, it is something that other countries have looked into before.
Yes. So if we look at just two examples, and I think two of the most prominent and often cited ones, New Zealand will be banning the sale of tobacco to people born after 2008 under a new law that's expected to be passed this year. And Bhutan actually has had this on for a while. They have a Tobacco Control Act of 2010, and that bans the sale, cultivation, distribution and promotion of tobacco products. But it does allow limited imports for personal consumption. Now, worth saying that they've temporarily lifted this prohibition due to COVID-19 because they were worried about the smuggling trade due to the lack of, well, accessibility to these products. Now, I guess what makes all of this interesting is that instead of, it really goes to the idea of preventing new smokers rather than only targeting current smokers and getting them to stop. And I think that's an important shift to make because, again, all of those things that we talk about, the fact that people take up smoking at a young age, that it's addictive and therefore it becomes a lifelong habit, a lot of those could, in theory, be impacted by a move like this.
I will say that whenever we talk about anything actually to do with a huge mindset shift, whether it is smoking or education, we will occasionally get the message. And when I say occasionally, I mean at least one per show, get the message of forget the current generation. Let's focus on the new ones. Let's focus on the younger ones. And in some ways, that's what this feels like, right? It's like saying that to the people who are already smokers and who may be doing whatever they're doing, whether they're continuing to smoke, whether they're finding their way towards quitting and so on. It's like, do you? But I'm going to look at the next generation and ensure that at least for them, it's going to be incredibly difficult, actually impossible, if everything works out, to get their hands on tobacco products. And I do think this is very interesting because on the surface of it, at least, there are lots of loopholes. Just on an enforcement level, I think it's going to be difficult. I think it was pointed out by one of our producers earlier that there's nothing stopping people from asking people who were born prior to 2005 to getting them cigarettes. So there are all these things that factor in here. But I'm also interested in what this means societally, because if you say generational endgame, what does that mean? Does that mean eventually we're looking towards an entirely smoke-free country?
I mean, I guess that would be the ideal that this would move towards, right? But then what about questions of self-determination, the right to choose? Even for those, as long as you're talking about those who are of adult age and age of consent, you know, should these decisions be made from the government level, or instead should there just be more enforcement, tighter sales, and let adults choose what they want to do? So, I mean, there are lots to unpack here. And we are going to do that in several ways over the course of the show. But we are talking about, essentially, a proposal by the health minister to stop the sales of cigarettes to those born after 2005. We want to know whether you support this. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Zariha Mohamad Zain, Medical Director at the Malaysian Women's Action for Tobacco Control and Health. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about a proposed ban on the sale of cigarettes and tobacco products to those aged below 18, something that's come up from the health minister. And so we're going to unpack what that might look like. We do want to hear from you. Do you support this? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now joined by Dr. Zariha Mohamad Zain, Medical Director at the Malaysian Women's Action for Tobacco Control and Health. Zariha, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Shamila and Lynn. Thank you for having me.
What were your initial reactions to the announcement that Malaysia plans to ban the selling of cigarettes and tobacco products to those born after 2005?
Well, obviously, you know, I was elated. That's fantastic. At last, you know, there is some kind of shown commitment, at least verbally. But hopefully this is not just rhetoric and really, you know, strong commitment. But we have a long way to go. And we have been involved in tobacco control for the last three decades, and we've not made much headway. And so the government really need to fast track, speed up, and step up if they are so serious about achieving the generational endgame.
So, could you explain how this new ban will be enforced? I mean, how could it work?
Well, honestly, the details we, the public, have got not very much idea. I mean, what I know about the this whole proposal is as good as what you know, and this is what was read by the minister at the meeting in Geneva recently. So the details I really don't know. And there is, I'm not so sure whether there was, enough public consultation on the details of this proposal. But of course, this new law is about time. I mean, it's been quite delayed for many years now. And it's good to know that this is coming, and hopefully it's coming real soon. I think in the next sitting, probably, of the parliament. However, there are of course questions and issues that people outside of the policy making circles want to know more about what constitute this new upcoming law, and what exactly is the generational end game, and how the process of achieving that would be finally reached, with due time.
In that case, then, what are some discussions that need to happen on a policy-making level before this proposal goes through?
Certainly, there are things. I mean, the Malaysian Health Tobacco Control Advocates did send a letter. It was an open letter to the Minister of Health. I think it was dated 16 January. When the minister mentioned a similar statement in the public in the media on the 15th of January, and the fact that we want more information, not just about tobacco, but other products as well. There is still grey area in exactly what is in this program and what it entails. So, good questions about whether it's only about smoking, the sales of cigarettes, because there seems to be quite silent on issues of vape, e-cigarettes, and the heated tobacco products. And we know that the statistics for the use of ENDS or electronic nicotine delivery systems is quite high in Malaysia, more than 1 million users. And the fact that these are used by people of all ages and all walks, because there is no restrictions currently for that. So there are statistics on teenage use of ENDS and for girls and boys, which are very, quite worrying. So we don't want this new law to be a means that facilitate the switching of people using cigarettes and other tobacco products, the traditional ones, to vape and ENDS. So we don't want that. So the policymakers have to think hard on making sure, because the voice of the tobacco control advocates, the NGOs, and even officers within the Ministry of Health is very clear. But within the government itself, there are agencies within the government other than the Ministry of Health that seems to be having a different viewpoint about vape. In fact, it is encouraged, or for many reasons, economic and social reasons and so on, which is not favorable to a probable ultimate reaching of the end game, because you may, even if you have completely reduced cigarette smoking among those people who were born in 2005, that cohort, you might have a new epidemic among these same group of people when they use vape. Because in Malaysia, unlike in New Zealand, where this came from, I mean, this whole idea of this wanting to do a generation end game and so on, because New Zealand made an announcement that's what they want to do. Unlike New Zealand, vape and ENDS, they are seen to be very, very restrictive in its use. It's not a recreational product. Unlike in Malaysia, people are using it as a lifestyle means to continue their addiction to smoking and to nicotine. So we must address this issue. It doesn't make sense if you ban cigarettes, but you don't ban vape. So you have to, the government has to think of doing both. Well, of course, because they're starting up with that cohort of 2005, there must be a ban on cigarettes as well as a ban on vape in Malaysia.
I just wanted to pick up on that and extend it also to this issue of a black market or of smuggling. How can we account for that? Might this end up creating an unregulated market for cigarettes and tobacco products, that are smuggled in, essentially, that are under the table?
Yes, of course. There's always this issue of illicit sales of cigarettes and other tobacco products and nicotine products. But even then, there are issues of the current available non-illicit. It's so well spread. It's so widely available among the 80,000 retailers. You can go at any corner and you'll find cigarettes and tobacco products, very easily available. what the government should do is to restrict that, to control that, regulate the retailers. The number of retailers to smokers is a lot more. It's a lot higher than the number of smokers to doctors. So it doesn't make sense. The retailers need to be licensed. That there should be strong and strict provisions of who should be allowed to sell these products. The fees for licensing should be very high, such that only a certain a group of people who are able can be given the license. People who sells in Pasar Malam or small retail shops, sundry shops, they should not be allowed to be given the licenses. Of course, the criteria would be one, and also the price and the cost of the license is very expensive, that they won't find it lucrative to be in this business. So very importantly, there must be regulation and restrictions for sales by restricting the retailers. Now, back to the issue about your question regarding illicit cigarettes or illicit trade. Now, at the moment, the government is very much influenced by studies that was conducted, by agencies or companies that is sponsored by, that's funded by the tobacco industry themselves. And they show very, very high levels of illicit trade, very high levels of smuggled cigarettes and smuggled tobacco products in the market. The actual figures, we really don't know, because they've got all the advantage to share very high figures, because it scares the government, because the government don't want to lose out on people not paying taxes and so on. And that is why they have been very effective and very successful in getting the government not to increase the tobacco tax for the last 6 years. That's ridiculous. I mean, we have been having static tobacco taxation for the last 6 years. And if the government is really serious about wanting to reach the end game, they must do all the activities and all the strategies that is put up in the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, and that includes price and tax. So I would suggest the government, if they are so serious, increase tobacco tax and tobacco and cigarettes and all the other tobacco products tax by fivefold or sixfold, because it has been right the same for the last 5-6 years. So it has got to be increased, because definitely it has been shown repeatedly in many studies that taxation is one very effective and efficient method of reducing demand, because people will react very negatively towards high prices. The issues about black market, certainly, maybe there will be some of that, but exactly how much, we shouldn't rely on the tobacco industry's figures. We have to do an independent study to see the exact figure. And even if there is, the answer is not to maintain tobacco taxation at the current level, but to improve on the enforcement of the smuggling of illicit cigarettes by effective enforcement.
We have just about a minute left. Do you anticipate pushback from the public, who might view this as an infringement of their rights?
Well, the public has been very very good at following orders by the government. I mean, the COVID vaccination is one. People have been very abiding by all the proposals by the government. Of course, initially there will be, definitely there will be pushback from the industry. I mean, we're talking about their livelihood here, and they probably will use front groups to voice their concerns. But the government should not be distracted and should not be influenced by that. This is the right thing to do, and the government should just move on and carry it out.
Dr. Zariha, thank you for speaking with us today.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Zariha Mohamad Zain, Medical Director at the Malaysian Women's Action for Tobacco Control and Health, weighing in on a proposal by the Health Ministry to ban the sale of tobacco and tobacco products and cigarettes to those born after 2005. Do you support this? Weigh in. You can call 7733290, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Dr. Lee Boon Chye, former Deputy Health Minister. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:36. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're talking about the latest proposal from the Health Ministry to essentially stop the sales of tobacco products and cigarettes to those aged below 18. And that's just been announced by the Health Minister. So we're unpacking what that means. Earlier, we discussed the larger ramifications of this. Soon we'll be joined by Dr. Lee Boon Chye, former Deputy Minister of Health, to hone in on what this might mean for our syntax, but we do want to hear from you. Do you support this? You can call 7733290, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and we do have some messages.
Yes, a fair amount actually, and running across the gamut of opinion. So Kelvin, for example, says, I'm a smoker and I agree. When the selling stops, the craving stops. Just completely ban tobacco, nuff said. So not just supporting this move, but proposing, in fact, a more radical one and saying do away with it entirely.
Interesting coming from a smoker, because I always think that that's perhaps a little bit of a battle with people who are currently smoking. We have, however, John saying, an 18-year-old is an adult, not a child or a minor. If tobacco is not an illegal substance, why should adult Malaysians be stopped from their right to smoke?
Then we have Mohamed Shani responding in some ways to that, saying, you know, why should there be self-determination for bad habits? That is the tobacco industry's narrative to undermine public health policies on tobacco control. And then goes on to talk about how this has been seen out in a case in the United States.
We are also getting a lot of messages on enforcement and whether this is just something that they can keep up, which we'll get to shortly. But do keep them coming. What do you make of this move? Do you support it? You can call 7733290, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Dr. Lee Boon Chye, MP for Gopeng and former Deputy Health Minister. Dr. Lee, pleasure to have you with us as always.
Thank you for getting me on board.
So how did you feel when you first heard about this plan? Do you think it's the way to go?
Well, certainly I'm encouraged first a few things. Number one, they chose a commitment for the country to create a so-called free nation going forward. And that is the right step for us to go, because if we were to implement by next year, that means everybody below 18 years old will not have cigarette and tobacco product. The age limit should be increased every year so that those who are born after 2005 will not have access to tobacco and cigarettes. And then, of course, I do understand some of the, you know, why do we deny the right of people who want to smoke if they are already adult? I think when it comes to addiction, there's no wish between whether you are adult or you are children. And there is enough study to show that most of the addiction in cigarette actually occurs when you start smoking younger.
So will enforcement of this be difficult?
Certainly it had some challenges, but I think if you draft the policy clear and there's no, it's unequivocal, then it will be simpler to enforce. And we just need to cut off the excess of tobacco and cigarette products to those who are, say, next year will be 18 years old, and subsequent year, the age limit will be increased year by year, so that we are hoping to have in 30 years from now, maybe one generation of youngsters who are tobacco-free.
We have been hearing some messages from listeners asking the government to, or suggesting that the government simply raise taxes instead. But if we stop selling cigarettes, how do you see this move impacting the collection of sin tax, for example, in coming years and us losing that form of revenue?
I think there are two aspects of this about tax revenue. Actually, for tobacco as an industry, it's not money-making for the government because the amount of money we spend in treating tobacco-related diseases is much more than what we have collected from the tax revenue. So as far as tax revenue is concerned, it's actually revenue negative. However, by simply raising the tax alone without effective enforcement to cut off those illicit cigarettes, then we will also have problems. So I think raising taxes must go hand in hand with enforcement to cut off all those illicit cigarettes.
So with other countries that have put a ban like this into place, how did it go? How did it affect their society as well as their tax revenue?
Well, I think, as I said, we cannot be just looking at tax revenue. But if you look at other countries, I think New Zealand is putting up a plan to raise the age limit for smoking. I think they are going to implement, 2027 and going forward. Most of the countries have committed to the WHO resolution for a tobacco-free nation at some point in time in the future. And we got to start somewhere. I think the announcement by the Ministry of Health is timely. I do hope that it can be successfully implemented.
And overall, are methods like this, you know, so we're talking about outright bans, also the raising of prices, also tax hikes, all these things coming into play. Are these effective ways to reduce tobacco consumption overall?
Well, it is also about education. One thing is about education of the public. And the second thing is, of course, the measures to cut off cigarette smoking and nicotine consumption among the youth, where they would not become nicotine addicts in the future. So these are the two things which are important. Other than that, raising taxes, as I say, got to go hand in hand with successful measures to prevent illicit cigarettes from coming into the country through different channels.
Now, this move has been described by the health minister as a long-term move to bring about a generational change when it comes to smoking. Do you think it's possible for us to actually become a smoke-free society?
Well, I think no country in the world has done it. But it doesn't mean that nobody can do it. I think every country in the world, most countries in the world are committed to be smoke-free in the future. We got to start somewhere. But I think we are making a good start. It's just like what the saying about journey of 1,000 miles begins with first step. So we need to make the step in order for us to reach the destination. So I agree, it is not easy, but we have to make the move.
And what else would you like to see the government do to ease and encourage this transition towards, less smoking overall?
Well, I think if you look at the statistics, we know that a large majority of the population who are cigarette consumer actually wants to quit. So there should be sufficient avenue for them to try to quit smoking. And the publicity for that is rather lacking, even though such facilities available in most of the clinics. Kesehatan in Ministry of Health. This is one. And I think that's one we could look at. But I think the most important thing is the illicit cigarettes. I think there's still a lot of the disputes about 25 to 40% of the cigarette market in the country is illicit cigarettes. And this will impact the low-income group where they have easy access to illicit cigarettes. And they would be more impacted by contracting non-communicable diseases as a result of complication of long-term smoking. and their financial situation. Even though short term, they got some short term gain from cheaper cigarettes, but in the long run, they are actually financially worse off, especially for the low income group.
Dr. Lee, you were, of course, at the helm when the ban of public smoking was rolled out, and that got a fair amount of pushback from the public. Do you anticipate similar reactions this time around?
Well, certainly there would be some. There will always be about 20% of diehard cigarette smokers who would try to push back. There's also big tobacco companies who always funded some of the pushbacks regularly. And there will always be so-called some pseudo study will come out. So a certain measure doesn't work, certain measure should work. And we all are in the so-called anti-tobacco campaign. And we face that all the time. And that's to be expected. But I think the most important thing is for the Ministry of Health and for the government to have a clear-cut long-term plan. We are committed to tobacco-free in the future. Of course, we will not be able to tell when, but eventually that should be the way forward.
So we're still in the early stages of this. It hasn't yet been brought to Parliament, and we're working on a pretty short timeline in some ways. Is there enough political will to push this through?
Well, I think if the Ministry of Health is willing to go forward, I think most likely they will get bipartisan support. So I think political will should not be, they should have enough courage to push through with bipartisan support.
Dr. Lee, thanks for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Dr. Lee Boon Chye, a former Deputy Health Minister, also MP for Gopeng, weighing in on the recent announcement from the Health Minister that we're moving towards, or rather proposing, a ban on the sale of tobacco products and cigarettes to those born after 2005. And we've been asking you whether you support this. Do keep those thoughts coming. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.